In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the reasons I tell you to come to the services and read the services at home is because, this is not the major reason, this is maybe 10 on a list of 10, but it's still wonderful and glorious, is that when you hear the services over and over again and you read them, there comes a time, often, where you say, that's amazing. I never thought of it that way. I don't remember it this being in this service. It happens to me all the time, even though I know the services pretty well because I read them, I've chanted them for a long time, etc. Now, the Typica, I don't know so well. You don't do the Typica too often. You do the Typica during Great Lent before the Liturgy of the Presanctified. You also do the Typica when there's not Divine Liturgy. And what do? I serve Divine Liturgy, so the Typica is not served on those days. And the Lenten Typica is very rare. It's only during Lent, and it has parts in it that are common to all Typica service, but also parts in it that are never, ever said except during Great Lent. And it has two troparia, or a troparian and a kantakian in it, that are from other times of the year. Or, excuse me, the Typica does, and also the one of the hours does, the third hour does. They're Lenten special things. And I've read this many times. I can't tell you how many times I've read the kantakian of the Transfiguration during Great Lent, because it's appointed in the Typica, because I've said the Typica many times, but it's still not as common as all the other things that I do. And today, it just hit me like a thunderbolt. We sing, or I actually chant, it's just chanted, the kantakian of the Transfiguration, but I'll sing it just because you might need to have a little more mortification of your flesh. On the mount thou wast transfigured, and thy disciples, as much as they could bear, beheld thy glory, O Christ God, that when they should see thee crucified, they would know thy passion to be willing, and would preach to the world that thou in truth art the effulgence of the Father. That's a rare tone. It's the seventh tone. It's not used that often for troparia and kantakia. We say that in the Typica near the end, the kantakian of the Transfiguration. And I was thinking, why do we say it during Great Lent? It's Transfiguration. Transfiguration is in August, right? August 6th, the church calendar. So I think that would be 19th. The 19th on the Joe's Garage calendar. So why do we sing the kantakian of the Transfiguration now? We're in Great Lent. Context always matters, right? Context matters. We're singing it during Great Lent. That's because Great Lent is a preparation. Great Lent is when we get on our knees and we tell God that we're terrible sinners, and the prayers today were incredibly compunctionate, including, of course, all these prayers because of pestilence. We're on our knees praying these prayers, and the prayers are basically saying, God, we're terrible, and we deserve to be judged by thee. And that's true. We are terrible, and we deserve to be judged by God. And yet we are beseeching him for his mercy, and he indeed will give his mercy. And even though we are just full of just terrible, terrible things, all of us, what's the secular thing that people say, stupid human tricks? We're doing stupid human tricks all the time, just terrible things. Hardly a one of us can have someone that in some way hurts us, and we don't lash out either in our mind or even with our words or our thoughts. God forgive us that we're so terrible, and yet God made us for greatness. He made us in his image to obtain his likeness. And somehow, in the midst of all this imperfection, all this slogging through the mud, we're going to become clean because of God's will, because of his mercy, but also because of our effort. So we have to get on our knees, and we have to tell God we're terrible, because we are, and that's just telling the truth. But we also, in the midst of that, we are saying that Christ was transfigured on the mount to show that he's the effulgence of the Father, and to make his disciples glad, not in that moment, but to have to plant that seed so that even when he was crucified, they wouldn't fall away. They would have a little bit so that they could hold on. They came close to falling away. They ran away. All of them were afraid, even John, although he was closer. He didn't run away from the cross. He was at the cross with Christ's mother and such. He was in the courtyard and such when the trial went on. He even went up to the high priest because he knew him in some way, tried to get some sort of arrangement made so Peter could come in. But all of them were afraid. But they weren't completely undone because Christ had planted in them this seed. Now, what happened on Transfiguration? Transfiguration is just, it might be my favorite feast. Because Transfiguration is the fulfillment. Nativity of the Lord, of course, that's the beginning of the fulfillment, right? That's without Christ, God becoming man, none of this would be possible. And then, of course, there is Pascha, which promises us that we will be resurrected. But the sort of the further story of what that resurrection will be is in Transfiguration. Because in Transfiguration, by the way, just days before the Lord was going to be crucified, in Transfiguration, the Lord goes up to the mountain, shows them who he really is. The divine light of Christ, which is always within him and is coming from him, he allows to be seen. So they see this light of God, this energy of God, and they're undone by it. They can't handle it, but they will be able to handle it. They will be able to be in his presence, just as we will be. This is the promise. That's the fulfillment of the promise. I suppose you could say it's still the promise, because when he was transfigured, they were stupefied. They were scared. They were confused. But we and they and all of those who are struggling for salvation, in the next life, we'll be in the light of God. His light will shine upon everything. There will be no darkness, no shadow, no sadness, no sorrow, no sighing. Only life everlasting and only the light of God. So it's apropos that we would say the Kontakion for the Transfiguration during Great Lent, because we're preparing ourselves to receive that grace of God on Pascha and to in some way be changed. Perhaps in a way that we don't see, perhaps in a way we do see, but that's cumulative. These changes are cumulative. Every Pascha that you go through, whether it's a good one or a bad one, whether or not you know you were doing right or doing wrong, God somehow gives his grace to you in a way that brings you forward. That's why we say the Kontakion of the Transfiguration. And I think it's a good message during this period of time. And of course, what's going on? We all know what's going on. You have to be under a rock to not know what's going on. We have the coronavirus. We have fear. We have governments becoming more and more strict. And even who knows how far they're going to go? God knows. I mean, we have evidence from the past century of how far governments can go, how oppressive governments can go in Russia, in all of the satellite states of the Soviet Union, in Cambodia, in Uganda. Venezuela. What's that?
Venezuela.
China. North Korea. Governments can become extremely oppressive, especially governments that have no godliness in them whatsoever. That might happen. Don't be afraid. Remember what your purpose is in life. Your purpose is so that you could be in the presence of God and not be afraid. You might have to go through trials in this life. You might have to go through great difficulties in this life. But God will bring you through them. We have to remember, in the midst of all this, that our purpose is as Christians, and we are gathering together, we are doing what the county of Dallas and the city of Dallas doesn't understand to be essential work. They think only people who are doing essential work, according to their secular definition, should be able to be out and about. We are doing essential work. Without prayer, the world ends. Without holiness, the world ends. So we are struggling. We're not holy, but we are doing something that is holy, and we are praying. And what we are doing, being reasonable, you know, following the rules, but also praying, this is critical because we are Christians. This is the way we react to a problem. Don't ever forget this. I want to point out to you also that the troparion for Pentecost is said in the third hour, only in the Lenten version. Now, why would we say that? Blessed art thou, O Christ our God, who has shown forth the fishermen as supremely wise, by sending down upon them the Holy Spirit, and through them didst draw the world into thy net. O lover of mankind, glory be to thee. Why would we say the Pentecost Troparion? For the same reason. How do we attain this enlightenment so that we can be in the presence of God and not be ashamed and not be like some dirty little cinder that is ashamed of the light? By the Holy Spirit. It all ties together. So we're singing the Troparion chanting it during the third hour in Lenten hours, only Lenten hours, never otherwise. And then we are also doing the Kantakion for the Transfiguration during Typicum. We're singing these or chanting these because they are pointing us to the whole purpose of what we're doing. So I know you got to do what you got to do. Maybe you got to go out and try to find flour. Good luck. Maybe you want to try to find, I don't know, whatever else. And you have to deal with what you're dealing with. And, you know, there could be financial hardships. People having trouble with their mortgages and other such things. We as a church need to have a dialogue, because there might be those among us or those that we know that have needs that we might have to help with, whether it be food or other such things. So we have to have a dialogue about this if this goes on for a long time. And if it does, we will pray. My bishop, Archbishop Peter, wrote a wonderful pastoral letter to his clergy. It's a private letter. He's not going to publish it. But I will tell you something that he said in it. And I don't think he'll be upset with me at all. The letter is just breathes love and breathes this thoughtfulness. And in that letter, among other things, he says many things and gives some clarifications about various things and etc. But he says, we will continue to celebrate the liturgy. Even if the doors must be locked, we will celebrate the liturgy, because the liturgy is a prayer for the whole world. So we will do this. We will celebrate the liturgy, whether or not literally the doors are locked and even there are military patrols in the streets. I don't want to be melodramatic. I don't think that's, I don't know how likely or unlikely that is. We will celebrate the liturgy because it is a prayer for the whole world. Now, I want everyone to benefit from it as best we can. And we'll try to do the same thing with communion we did this yesterday. But even if we're not allowed to do that, even if it's impossible to do that, we will celebrate the liturgy. And we will pray for every one of you by name. And if it's not Sunday, we will be on our knees praying. Of course, we don't pray on our knees on Sunday because we recognize the resurrection. So have heart. Don't be afraid. Or when you are afraid, when you're a little bit anxious, when you're a little bit nervous, then don't watch the TV. Don't do that. They're just going to say crazy things. Don't do that. Instead, pray. Continue to say the Troparion to St. Nikephoros. I will make available this prayer that we prayed on our knees today. I think I've already done it. I'll send it out again. And pray. Do the prayer of St. Ephrem. Do prostrations for this problem. Attack this problem like a Christian, with the weapon of peace. That's the cross. I talked about that yesterday. But because of all these glitches, I don't know if it was preserved. But life happens. The weapon of peace. The weapon of peace is you following the way of the cross. So, fear not, little flock. It's going to be all right. It's going to be hard. But it's going to be okay. God bless you.